Welcome to Start Writing. Today I have an interview with W.C. Hoffman, the author of Twins of Prey. If you took a guy who loves to hunt fish and then made him a professional magician with a decade-long career in law enforcement who enjoys his work as an ordained wedding officiant, you would have W.C. Hoffman. He also worked at Disney, so he's had quite a varied career, and now he is an author of, I believe, 11 books. So he is a thriller writer. The real kind of focus of it is kind of the outdoors and whatnot. And so I'll let him talk about that more in depth. So here's the interview with W.C. Hoffman. So W.C. Hoffman, so your book is Twin Prey, I guess. Is that the first book you've written, or is it somewhere in the middle? Because I've seen you've written quite a few.
Yeah, I'm up to, well, you know, once you get over 10, they're hard to keep track of. I think I'm at 11 now, but Twins of Prey was the first book I wrote, and the entire series is called Twins of Prey. That is up to 3 books, and it is planned to be a 7-book series when it's all said and done.
So the audience can get a feel for the kind of writer you are. Why don't you give us kind of the premise of the book, and then compare either the book to a very familiar book or an author that's kind of a home name author there.
Absolutely. So Twins of Prey basically is, well, the tagline I like to use is, when changing lives is not an option, the twins begin to take lives. So the premise is two twin boys who are raised by a person they call uncle. He's not biological to them, but he raised them off the grid in a survival type situation in the woods of northern Michigan. So the twins, by the time they're 7 years old, can hunt, fish, garden, trap. They're proficient in weapon skills. They can live perfectly in the woods on their own. And that's what they're forced to do on page 2 when Uncle takes his own life. And basically, if the world would leave the twins alone, they'd be perfectly fine. But when a local sheriff's department starts to hunt them down and the twins are basically fighting a land war in the woods of northern Michigan, where they live, where they understand, and they basically dismantle the sheriff's department one by one.
For me, it seemed like there was some really complex themes there, because in the very beginning, at the very first murder, like, it's not malicious or cruel or anything. It's just kind of what they were taught, right? They were taught to just kind of protect their territory. And so there's this very interesting kind of sins of the father theme within the story that way, because Uncle is familiar with society and just chose to withdraw from it. And then he just passes these teaching on, and these kids just have no idea about how the rest of the world works, or at least very little.
Exactly. It's kind of, you know, one of the other lines I use in writing the product description is, does nature versus nurture matter when death is your only option? No one blames the wolf or the mountain lion for killing the deer. It's just what a wolf or a mountain lion does. And this is just what the twins do. And I really, you know, it's funny because depending on how people read the book, they may see a different protagonist versus antagonist.
Right.
And it just depends where their morality in themselves lies. Or, you know, I like to, you mentioned, you know, comparing it to another book. I really like to compare it. Gary Paulson's one of my favorite writers, and he wrote a series called The Hatchet about a boy named
Hatchet.
Brian. Yeah, yeah. Great book. Great series, you know. And it's young adult reading. I read it maybe 5th or 6th grade, but it's what got me into reading. So, you know, it's Hatchet, My Side of the Mountain, mixed with Dexter. Now, remember the TV show Dexter? He's a serial killer, but he only kills bad people. But he's still a serial killer. So we have this dark-sided protagonist who's doing horrible things, but perhaps for the right reason.
All right. And so who would you say the audience is for your book that you're targeting? How would you pick, you know, describe your ideal reader, so to speak?
Yeah, so generally for Twins of Prey, my ideal reader is going to be someone that likes page turners, that likes cliffhangers on the end of every chapter, that likes, action or thriller movies, because that's pretty much how I write. when I sit down and write the book, I actually see it as a motion picture or a film. And I basically describe in the book what I'm seeing in my mind. So, you know, if you like action adventure thrillers, suspense thrillers, that's going to be perfect for you. There is another market that ended up really liking my book, and that is outdoorsmen. So people who hunt, fish, trap, garden, because that's what I'm into in my personal life. And I'm, you know, you write what you know. I mix a lot of that into it. And also the prepper, doomsday survival type people, because that is basically the style of life Uncle lives without being forced to.
Right. Well, and I think in those two audiences that you've just described, there's kind of a strong reading niche, because both of them have kind of a detached approach to technology as they live that lifestyle. When they go out and they're doing their hunting and stuff, a lot of them don't want to bring a lot of technology with them. And the doomsday preppers are assuming that technology is not going to be working for them at the time. So I assume that these are both fairly big reading audiences.
Yeah, the prepper market is just great, and I tell you what, they're super supportive too. And it's a very, you know, when you look at romance, there's so many broad, you know, you got so many different types of romance. But when it comes to, you know, the prepper audience, it's pretty much survival or dystopian people. So it's very tight. It's very niche oriented, and they like to read and. They spend a lot of their time preparing for the worst. So I think they like to, in their fiction, immerse themselves in the world that they've been preparing for and hoping probably they never actually have to see.
So with the doomsday prepper being a big group being kind of a big fan of your work, do you sell a lot of paperbacks for that reason? Like, because my thought is if they're these doomsday preppers, what they're doing is they find a book they like and they want to stock it as their entertainment post-apocalypse, right?
Yeah, that would make sense. I do go to I do book signings at a lot of outdoor shows, and you have a lot of crossover between outdoorsmen and preppers. So I do sell a fair amount of paperbacks to them. You are right. The other thing is, when I designed the actual paperback, the cover and, you know, is relatively dark. The pages are cream. They're not bright white. They're soft. It's a quiet book. It's I hear all the time from people, these are the books I read when I'm out in my hunting blind. Right. And, you know, they fold up, they pack well. They're not super long. I write right around 50,000 words. Now, I do have some other books that are longer, but the Twins of Prey series specifically. And the other thing I do a lot of is audio. Audio's been very good to me.
Really? Have you marketed that specifically, or do you think it's just kind of evolved out of the audience that you have?
You know, I think one thing that I think that has really helped me in audio is I've never specifically marketed it other than, you know, giving away free copies of the books for reviews or giving away, you know, if you give away Twins of Prey, here's my thing. If you read Twins of Prey 1, you're going to read all 7 books. And there, I mean, the retention rate is over 90%. Right. It's just, you're going to. It's just the way I write and the way the story's crafted. So, you know, giving away that first book for me, even in audio, has been, you know, the number one tactic. The other thing is, and I know, you know, as a podcaster yourself, I do have a podcast, an outdoors podcast. It's a hunting fishing podcast. So there's a lot of crossover there. Podcast listeners, people who listen to podcasts, generally like are going to enjoy audiobooks.
All right. So let's talk about craft specifically. So I'm going to take probably this next question and split it into two. What do you consider the strongest part of your craft, and how did you develop it? And from the feedback you get from fans and fellow writers, what do they see as the strongest part of your writing? So kind of split that question there.
Yeah, definitely. I think the strongest part of my craft is being able to – I'm pretty darn good at writing a twist, man. And what's funny about, you know, the twists in my book is, you know, it's going to be no surprise when I say this. M. Night Shyamalan is like one of my favorite directors. Yeah, he's written some bad movies that haven't done well in the box office, but I love pretty much everything he's done for that fact. And I have some huge twists in my book. It's almost become somewhat of a calling card in the Twins of Prey series. and I'm really good at crafting those. But what's really interesting about crafting those is they so very often happen in the moment. For example, the huge twist in Twins of Prey 1, which I won't give away, obviously.
I was going to say, are you going to give away the book right here?
But for people who read that book or will read it in the future, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I never planned that. That happened one day as I was sitting down and working on a chapter. And I said, oh, you know what? This would be kind of cool. And boom. And that really shaped the rest of the series. And I've done that pretty much in every book I write. So I'm really good at creating the twist. And they're not most people don't see them coming. They're not super obvious. Even now, my fans are looking for the twist early in the book. And I've been really successful at weaving them in different ways too. Perhaps, you know, I've put, you know, image files in the book of a handwritten letter, and later in the book, the letter gets decoded and means something totally different. You know, I really like that in movies that I watch. I really like that in books that I read. So I emulate it as well.
Okay, and so from the fans, are they tend to agree with you, or are the fans saying that there are other aspects that they enjoy more?
So the number one thing I hear back from my fans in a, you know, as far as positive feedback goes, is my pacing. They, you know, I hear all the time, oh, I read it in two sittings, or I couldn't put it down. And these are kind of generic things we hear about authors and whatnot. But I like to hear that because that is specifically how I write. Mm-hmm. I very rarely end a chapter. I try to end a chapter so dramatically that you will not check Facebook in between this one and that one. Right. I mean, literally, you know, and when I work with my beta readers, I actually ask them, when did you put the book down? At what point did it drag just a little bit enough for you to want to check Twitter or Facebook? And what I hear back from my readers once this process is done is, couldn't put it down, had to finish it, you know, kick you in the butt, drag you out from start to finish. And that is the number one thing I hear. I even have a review from a reader on Amazon that has her husband reading one of my books while he's at the dinner table, and again while he's at the breakfast table. Both times there's a plate of food in front of him, and she posted his picture eating with my book in the review on Amazon. I mean, how awesome is that?
That was awesome. That is awesome. So yeah, for me, like, I think your pacing's really good, but it's as I was reading, it's like more than pacing, because I've read books that just feel like they have like just insane pacing, but in that insane pacing, I didn't feel like the characters were developing enough sometimes, and so I was less invested. Whereas it feels like, even though I've read books that are in that action pace faster than yours, the characters in yours are developed enough that I don't feel like it's just reckless, you know, abandoned to go as fast as possible. But it the characters kept me engaged as much as the pacing. I just thought that was just really well done, because there's that balance between the backstory, the character development, and the action pace that's relevant now. And it seems like when any one of those factors is off, the book feels off, like it's lopsided, so to speak. And with your book, that's what I was impressed with the most, is it didn't feel that way. I didn't feel that there was too much or too little of any of those three elements, and it just, each chapter kind of developed really well that way.
Well, I thank you for the kind words, and that's a hell of a compliment. And I have to admit, some of that just happened naturally. Twins of Prey was the first time I sat down to write a book. And I think I think my character development really shines in Twins of Prey 2 once you get into the story a little bit deeper. And I think the twins themselves kind of, they can't survive by being shallow characters. So I think the story that I crafted, they had to be deeper. We all know a troubled teen. Every person from the sheriff's department in my first book was someone not necessarily someone I know, but was crafted after someone I know. So their physical descriptions, the way they talk, their mannerisms, all the way down to a few of their names, with permission, of course, are exactly what they are. You know, for example, the sheriff's department member named Ken McGee, there's a real guy named Ken McGee. And the background of his character, being a federal agent, being a former chief of police who moved to a smaller department, that's all real. That's all true. So developing the characters in my first book was developing them out of real people. And I think that really helped me. Now, when I got to Twins of Prey 2 and I had to, you know, create my own characters from the ground up, I had a better understanding of how to do so.
Okay, so as far as your craft, is there any specific aspect that you're focusing on now to really improve and develop, and how are you going about that?
So with my current work in progress, the series is called The Colin Moore Chronicles. We have the first book. I am co-writing with an author, a guy named Tim Moon, and he has really helped me with my dialogue. When you read the Twins of Prey series, there obviously clearly is dialogue. However, I like writing action scenes, and I like writing the twist, and I like writing the sun broke over the eastern horizon, and in all the nature-y stuff. You know, in dialogues where I really struggled, and I think if you read through into the Count War Chronicles, you'll really see where my co-author and I, you know, my skills in the world of dialogue has really improved. And, you know, I can say one thing that's really done that for me is switching to dictation for doing a lot of my pre-writing.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah, well, because in Twins of Prey, there's just not a lot of dialogue. There is some, but I mean, even when the twins are working together, they're usually fairly far apart. And so, you know, most of the story is either action or taking place in one of their heads.
Yeah, they are, you know, and I think we're talking about kids that have never been socialized.
Right.
How much talking are they really going to do? And most of the talking is done at them. And most of the thinking is done by them.
Right.
So you're exactly right in that regard.
So is there anything in storytelling or prose, or like when you pick up a book and you start reading and it just drives you crazy when you see some of these authors doing these things? Is there something like a pet peeve you've got in craft?
Well, you know, now I don't see it a lot in books because I generally nowadays am reading things by authors who I don't want to say trust, but that I'm a fan of. You know, I read selectively. I don't, you know, openly read anything in my genre. I read the people that I know I like their stories. But I think I can answer your question when it comes to movies and TV shows. And I think it connects because of the way I write, because I write very visual. And, you know, when it comes to film or movies or TV, I'm really quick to point out overused tropes, man. I mean, like, just, oh, you saved a woman from being raped. And it, now, or she saved herself, and now she's stronger because of it. Like, or, I mean, insert any trope in the world, you know? And that's why in my writing, you know, I really, really stray away from, you know, doing the typical stuff. And I think that also goes to show why I like what I like to watch. You know, why I like M. Night Shyamalan movies, or why I think Fight Club is one of the best movies ever made. You know, I think it's just, for me, if it's predictable, I generally find myself not enjoying it as much.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you two different questions here on your marketing and your publishing. When you first finished your book, Twins of Prey, how did you go about marketing that book, and how have things changed, and how do you approach marketing now?
Yeah, so I did it all wrong the first time.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people want to hear, though, right? Is, you know, you hear a lot of advice about what you should do, but very few people give you advice on the pitfalls. Be like, this is what I did, and it didn't work at all.
Right. So when I first did Twins of Prey, I ran a successful Kickstarter to fund the project, and I was lucky that allowed me to do it. Kind of built my own audience before the book came out, so I did have a successful launch, in successful to me. in regards to that. But when it came to, you know, time to marketing, you know, that first book, I told friends and family and, you know, anybody else that would listen. I posted it on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, spammed the hell out of people. And, you know, I sold a few hundred books. And the biggest problem with that is I didn't have a second book. And I also did not capture any of those sales. So I didn't have an email list going. You know, I had an author Facebook page, and but Facebook pages are what they are. If you're not paying for reach, you're not going to get it. So when it came to marketing that first book, I spent some money on ads where I didn't need to, and I may have burnt out some of my contacts. Going forward, what I've really found that is very, you know, I have built a mailing list now. And I've built that mailing list off of giving away the free copies of the first book. Mm. It's, you know, first in series free has been very good to me. I generally will do it about every 3 to 4 months. And those always tend, I have high read through rates, and those always tend to be my best months out of the year for sales.
So in the beginning, what turned it around for you? You know, you did your Kickstarter, you got your initial friends and family, and then things kind of petered out. What turned that around for you? Because, I mean, looking at your books, it looks like you're doing really quite well across the board. So what flipped that switch?
You know, what flipped the switch was book three. I think by book three, I had a big enough fan base that people, you know, trusted me. Like I said earlier, you know, I read the authors that, you know, I trust, that I enjoy. And I people knew enough by then. Also, I think there's a lot of people that when they hear something as a series, they don't touch it until it's, you know, they don't like to wait, you know. it's the Netflix of reading books, man. Right now I'm watching Prison Break. Prison Break was on TV like 7 years ago, but I'm watching it now because I can stream the hell out of it. Right. You know, so I think there's a lot of that going on too. So what it really, you know, I don't know if it's social proof or if it's just, you know, having more available that really made the difference for me. Now, I'm really open about this. I'm not a full-time writer. Well, you know, I spend enough full-time hours at writing, but you know, I have a day job. I have a career. I'm not using writing income to live off of. And at this point right now, I couldn't. However, I honestly do feel, looking at my numbers, I'm only 3 books away from that. So, you know, by 2018, I would think I, you know, looking at my backlist and what I have planned going forward and the marketing that I do now, you know, via, you know, the free book giveaways and the high reader retention rate and my mailing list, that I should be able to comfortably live off of my royalties in 2018.
So I guess, do you have any big marketing events coming out? And I guess, where can people find you?
Sure, yeah, I do have some things coming up, but where to find me is pretty darn easy. WCHoffman.com is my website, and I am a social media junkie, and I check my email constantly, and I'm very open to readers. So it's almost an addiction, I'll admit it. But it's really, I have like great conversations with readers. So if you go to wchoffman.com, there's, you know, contact me, email links, there's links to my Facebook page. But also what's kind of cool, and, you know, we talked about the free book, is if just for coming to my website, and we talked about my mailing list, join the mailing list. I call my subscribers twins because marketing. And
because marketing.
Yeah. So if you become a twin, well, it's about building a community, right?
Right, yeah.
And, you know, so if you become part of my community, if you become a twin, I'll give you a free book. And the system is built right there. It'll give you Kobe's Destiny, which is a prequel to the Cullen War Chronicles. You know, I went all George Lucas with it. So, you know, you can read Kobe's Destiny if you like it. It'll dump you right into the first book of the Cullen War Chronicles, which is called Praying for War, which is one of my best-selling books that's out. And the cool thing about that is, you know, by the time you finish that, the second book will be out, because the second book releases here in 2 weeks' time.
Oh.
So, which is Living for War. The third book is 75% done, so you're going to be getting that before the end of the year. So you'll have four books in the Kalan War Chronicles. I'm going to start that over. So you'll have four books in the Kalan War Chronicles ready for you before the end of the year, just for becoming a twin. And also, that's not even including the Twins of Prey series, which is also there and available for you. And then as far as marketing goes, on the 15th, which is a Saturday night, April 15th, Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you hop on over to my Facebook page, my author page, I'm doing a live event where I basically am doing – we did a cover reveal last week. This week, we're doing a product description or blurb reveal, but there's more happening than that. The reason you want to come to this is because I've reached out to a bunch of my friends in the indie author community, and they've given me free audiobooks to give away, free ebooks to give away, free signed paperbacks to give away, and also some character names. So you could, just for showing up and interacting with me on this Facebook Live event that's coming up, you could have any name that you choose used as a character in a future book by me and other authors. So it's pretty cool. The last time we did it, a lot of people won a lot of cool stuff. So you show up, I tell you about my new book, and then I give you a bunch of free stuff. And we hang out, and it's a good time. So again, and then you can all, I guess the place, the genesis for all this is my website, wchoffman.com. Follow the links and then come and win some stuff next week.
Awesome. Okay, so I actually have one more question. So sure. For you, you mentioned that as far as your marketing was going, that what really tripped it for you was book three. So what would you say to authors who have one book out? You know, they spent the last 2 years of their life writing the book and then they release it. What do you recommend for marketing for someone like that?
Right. So I think it comes down to focus. Are you a writer or are you a person who wrote a book? So if you were a person who wrote a book, you had one book in you, this was your great American novel, your dream, I don't know what to tell you. Unfortunately, because the best way to sell your book is to write the next one. And, you know, and I write in series for that reason. And you just got to put your butt in the chair and get the work done. You're not alone when you have those moments where I really like having written, but I necessarily don't like writing. You know, I like being a writer, but I don't like writing. It's work, people. It's not so, you know, I have bad days at work too, but I have some really good days. And you know what? Every week they give me a paycheck. So, and why do they give me a paycheck? Because I keep working. So that's what you got to do. Write your next book. And I would honestly, wholeheartedly, not spend a dime on advertising or promotion until you get three books deep in a series.
Really?
The only difference is keep building that mailing list. You know, have those call to actions in the back of your book. Offer that first book or a short story for free. Actually, I'm going to change my entire answer.
I don't know. There's some good stuff in there. I kind of want to hang on to that piece.
No, it's good. I'm going to amend it. Write your first book and then write a short story in the same universe. Offer that short story for free. That's what we did with Kobe's Destiny. Okay?
Okay.
You write a short story. You're not going to have as much time invested into, you know, the editor. You know, you're still going to pay for a good cover, but use that as your lost leader. Be a drug dealer. The first fix is free. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so you've only got one book out, so you don't want to give that one book away for free to get someone on your mailing list, but you can give them a short story. What that's going to do is someone might be more willing to read a short story to give you a try.
Right.
Also, if they read the first book already and they like your style, they like your story, they like your universe, they're going to give you their mailing. They're going to give you their email in order to read the short story for free. What happens now when you release book two? You've got this list of people. You've got your tribe. You've built your community. You already know they like your stuff, which is half the battle.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier for me to sell you something else than it is for me to sell you something the first time.
Well, this was great. Thank you for your time.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening. That was our interview with W.C. Hoffman and talking about his book, Twins of Prey. He also mentioned several of his other books in the interview. As always, if you enjoy the show, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen to podcasts. And if you want to support us, check out my book, When the Sky Falls, or Travis's book, Song of Locke.